Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I am Lauren Williams, one of the senior consultants at Student Loan Planner. And guess what, everyone? We have a new teammate yet again. Let's welcome to the show Sam Silberstein, our newest SLP consultant. I am so excited that the team is growing, and I can't wait to share you with our community. So, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. And I want to just let everyone know, Lauren did really practice that before getting on this podcast to say my last name, Silberstein. So I'm giving her 100% credit.
Yeah. I pride myself on getting names right. So I got it. I said it perfectly. And then I was like, okay, deliver. Deliver right now in this moment, Lauren. You've got to do it. So
that's how it always goes.
Right. Well, why don't we start with you just telling the audience a little bit about who you are, the person. You know, where are you from? What's your upbringing like? You know, what kind of cool things are you into? Give us a little rundown of who, how you would describe yourself.
Yeah. So I'm actually, I'm a born and raised Philadelphian. So from Philly, with the exception of about 4-ish, 5-ish years where I did leave Philly because I was like, okay, you need to experience stuff outside of this bubble. I actually last year just got back from, you know, 4 to 5 years from California. I don't mean to make that sound like a prison stint, but I really did love it. I have the ability to work, you know, virtually now. So I wanted to, you know, I think after the pandemic, I just kind of realized what was important to me. And I wanted to kind of return home to family and just be able to, you know, be there and just have support and be able to provide support. But in my free time, you know, I have the luxury now being in one of the best food cities. So I am a foodie, but it has caused me to, like, you know, want to seek other foodie places. So I love to travel both domestically and internationally. I'm actually getting ready next month to go to Australia, which I am 100% not prepared for. But that's me just waiting up to the last minute.
Okay, wait. So you mentioned being a travel person. I am also a travel person. I know Australia is coming up, but like, do you have a list of places that you're trying to go? A number of places? Are you trying to do all 50 states? Like, do you have travel goals?
Yeah, I think for me, I actually in 2023, I made a goal that this has nothing to do with Australia, but I wanted to finally get better at Spanish. I know we connected on this a little while ago, but I actually went to Spain for about a month earlier this year, and I'm going to actually return later on this year to just kind of force me into that like very immersive environment because I am a person that just does not do well, just like taking one class a week. And I want to just use the other side of my brain and finally just like build on that language that I should have known from like high school. So yeah, for me, like 2023 was supposed to be the year of let's go places that are going to enforce Spanish in your life. And so who knows what, that might actually have to be pushed into 2024 because that would have been like a very ambitious goal for 2023.
Yes. Yeah, so that is so many things resonate. First of all, setting a goal and realizing like, hey, just because I didn't accomplish it within the time frame that I said doesn't mean that I don't accomplish the goal. It's like, okay, just keep going. So as you mentioned, I'm also on a Spanish journey. I'm actually in Colombia right now trying to do that immersive piece of the puzzle. And it's just like, Lauren, like I have been good at so many things in my life. Like, why are you not good at this? And it's just like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just keep going. I'm not quitting. If there are other people out there that didn't take Spanish in high school or ignored Spanish in high school, don't speak it now. And now they're in their like 30s, maybe even headed toward their 40s. You too can learn Spanish. Like, we got this. Let's start a little club.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to practice together. And I think the biggest lesson for me has been is just like, be okay with failing. You learn by failing and having terrible conversations and, you know, your Spanish friends or people who speak Spanish in the country you're visiting are correcting you, right? That's how you get better.
Absolutely. All right. So one goal is learning Spanish. Is there like no number of countries or something that you're trying to conquer, though? Just see the world.
It's just see the world and see where it takes me. Like, I want to do a lot of in Europe. I want to go down to Central South America, but I don't want to necessarily set like a specific number because then I think it becomes more about the quantity than the quality. And so for me, I just want to make sure that I am moving and I'm seeking places and making sure I'm really taking it all in for what it is and not just visiting just to visit.
I like that. I probably could take a note from your book because I'm definitely a consummate box checker. I am on my 54th country. Actually, I think I'm on my 56th country right now. And I think there's like 82 that is my goal. I'm not trying to do all 196, but very clear path to where I'm trying to get.
I've heard of this. And also like my aunt did like the 50 states before 50. And I'm like, I would be like so stressed. Where are we going? Like, you know, where are we throwing Alaska into this? Like, that's where. But yeah, no, I really admire people who have those kind of like quantity goals.
I may or may not be trying to do the 50 states by the time I turn 40 in like a
You're
month.
You're taking it to a whole new level. Like, how many do you have left?
I have like 6. I said I'm going to try to do it by the end of the year, but I turned 40 in September. So we'll see what happens. I'll report back on that. Today is not about me. It's about you. All right. So back to Philly, the upbringing in Philly. You went to California. What took you away from Philly? I know you said family brought you back.
So I think there was one winter where my soldiers broke and I was like, I can't do winter anymore. But no, around like 2018, I was like, I think I was in my, you know, I had to be 25, 26. And I was like, if I don't leave Philly now where I have no responsibility, I'll never leave. And so I kind of just, at that point, San Diego was actually the only place outside of Philly that I could see myself living in. So I went there for about 2 years. Fortunately, I was able to, you know, just being in the industry, was able to find a job there because out of need. And then after that, I spent 2 years in the Bay Area in Oakland and then came back shortly, like, you know, in 2022.
Okay. Okay. So it was just like, get out of town, go find yourself, kind of like a set of gap years, if you will.
Yes. Yes. It was like, so I did, you know, I feel like I got like a good gist of like Southern California and then Northern California all at once. Totally two different flavors. I wish I could merge them because I individually love stuff about both of them. And then there's stuff where I was like, okay, yeah, I'm not a big fan. So I think both of them are just so different. It was just interesting to see that. And I'm personally grateful for it because coming from like a bubble like Philly, I really needed to have that bubble freaking burst it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My favorite part about travel is like the new perspective that you gain by seeing different places, different cultures, different ways of moving, different value systems, all the things. So super duper cool. All right. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the idea of how you got into the financial industry? So give us a little bit of your background. How did you get here?
Yeah. So I've been in the financial services industry in general since like 2015. And I always joke about it because I literally fell into it. Like Vanguard, my first job, literally rolled up at my college fair and they liked my customer service skills and my ability to have a conversation with them. And they're like, hey, we can teach you the finance stuff, but we can't teach you how to be the people person. And so they brought me on. Grateful for my experience there. It immersed me in everything financial related. And I think for me helped the confidence and burst a lot of myths I, you know, just created about like women in finance or just math in general. Cause I was that girl that avoided every math class in college, even as an econ major. I tried my math.
How do you manage to avoid math as an econ major? Like, is that possible?
I know how to play the game. But it just really helped me understand. Like, as soon as they told me I could use calculators for work, I was like, I'm in 100%. Let's go. But after that, I, you know, just kind of had a lot of different jobs, both like back end, front end, working with clients, you know, a little bit of trading that I think helped me find the path that I wanted to be on. And so around like, I want to say actually when that whole like finding yourself time in California, I actually kind of put myself on this, you know, more financial consulting and coaching probably early on in 2020. Now, I'm a CFP professional and, you know, we know the curriculum itself, while it's gotten 100% better, right? You know, we just noticed the curriculum and planning did leave out a lot of the population I was working with, right? Especially related to student loans. So I kind of been trying since 2020, right, to find that kind of merge of like, how do I, you know, integrate student loan planning within the overall financial planning, financial consulting with people I have a generally background of working with, which is nonprofit backgrounds like higher ed, healthcare and research, right? Ages groups from like, you know, 22 up to like 50s and generally people who have net worth under $1 million.
I love that. So many of us at Student Loan Planner have joined the financial industry trying to fill the gap because financial planning in and of itself caters to a very particular group. You are exactly right. And it is pretty exclusive, but thank goodness for everyone who is excited about, like you said, being able to serve a younger generation, being able to serve people who don't earn as well as the, you know, the top 1% of America. And like, just trying to figure out like, how do people get access to good information, good advice when they don't have $1 million of assets to manage. And that is exactly how I ended up in the industry as well. Is like, how do I bridge this gap as a professional athlete? Like, there are not a lot of financial options available. A lot of people ended up just like with this guy who like sells investment products, earns their commission for their investment products, and that's it. And they're getting no financial planning. They have no financial literacy and they're 20 something years old making millions of dollars. So you see a gap, you try to fill a gap, you make sure that people get what they need. And we're super duper passionate here. And that also like kind of folds over into our passion for student loans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the turning point for me was like before I moved out to California, I was a trader and I remember just working with portfolio managers and even clients who would just get, you know, the market was down that day, right? Their $5 million portfolio dipped just a little bit and they're a little sad. and they want to know what's happening in the market to cause that. And I was like, you know, I would rather be working with the fresh out of college or, you know, the mom of three living paycheck to paycheck. Like, how can we help her understand her options, right? It's been so rewarding kind of being on this journey, because when I first entered, even though I was really, you know, excited to be able to build on my success, I always wondered, like, will I find fulfillment in this career? You know, at the end of the day, can I say I made a difference? And I feel like there is a way for us to fill the gap, right? And I kind of live by the mission, right? Financial literacy is available to everyone, but in reality, everyone doesn't have ethical financial literacy easily accessible. So I think that's why I align with, you know, SLP so much, is that the belief that everyone across the income spectrum needs and deserves access to wealth building insights, tools, guidance, and education.
Amen. Hallelujah to that. So why don't we talk a little bit more about how you found your path to student loans specifically? You mentioned, like you said, being a CFP, there's not specific curriculum there that makes us experts in student loan planning. And everybody pretty much has a story of like how they ended up going down the rabbit hole and really becoming interested in student loans. So tell us yours.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, you know, doing a lot of self-taught stuff in like early 2020 when I was working strictly with nonprofits. I was learning actually a lot from the clients I was serving. And I realized, okay, Sam, you need to get a little bit more into this. So I actually went through the CSLP process, right, to get that designation. Just I want to know kind of the ins and outs. I want to be, you know, we're all nerdy here. So I really wanted to get better that way. And then I asked kind of during the PSLF waivers time specifically, I was able to actually work specifically somewhere else where I was focusing on just coaching student loans, right? It was kind of offered as a benefit as an employee. And, you know, also shout out to James, who is also a listener of this podcast. He works there and he's taught me a lot. And so I've just been thankful, because the student loan industry of, like, you know, coaching is so small and niche, like everyone seems to know each other. And the thing I love about it is we all realize the problem and we're all like here on, I think, even playing field, just trying to make each other better, right? We're all trying to figure this out together. It's been a very dynamic time the last 2 years.
It has been, dynamic would be an understatement. My mom says we put the fun in dysfunctional as it relates to our family. I like to think of, that's how I've been trying to think of it, this student loan situation. It has been a very dysfunctional thing, but I'm just trying to like have fun in the midst of all of it. So like, guess what's happening today?
Anything is possible at this point, right? Like, we just don't know, right? There's actually kind of something, I don't know if this is kind of psychotic, but fun in that understanding, like, hey, anything is possible at this time. Like, every week is different, right?
Yeah. Being able to help people sort through this foolishness has also been really, really rewarding. So to be able to stay on top of it, so sort through it ourselves, sort through it as a team, and have each other as support as we figure out, like, you know, what's the latest and greatest, has been really, really rewarding. So, all right. So tell us a little bit about, like, what you're most excited about as it relates to your time with Student Loan Planner. Like, what do you kind of like envision as like your grand goal or the grand thing that is going to be continue to like fulfill you?
Yeah, no, I just want to be like ready and available. You know, there's clearly a demand. We've seen it. And, you know, especially with, it's been a while, right, since payments have resumed. And so I just want to make sure, you know, and we've been preparing this on the back end, right, professionals for, you know, since 2021, right? Like, what's going to happen? The time is here for us to really help people make a difference in their lives. My philosophy too is every client is different, right? Their background is different. How they process information is different. And any financial trauma that may be there is also going to be different, right? So a lot of my practice isn't black and white, it's gray. And it needs to be amendable and dynamic for whoever I'm working with. I think that's, for me, the fun part, right? Because I kind of see coaching as like a two-way street. I'm not just empowering the client. I'm actually giving them the tools to empower themselves. And I think for me, I learn a lot from that about like what works for them.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really important point. The idea that people are dealing with trauma and they come to student loan calls, they're very stressed out. They feel like they're never going to be able to get married. They're never going to be able to buy a house. They're never going to be able to, you know, fill in the blank. And they just have legit anxiety. They're like, I have a six-figure debt. It's keeping me up at night. And that in and of itself is something that is a process that they need to work through, in addition to like, hey, we've got these numbers and the student loan stuff. So, you know, having someone like you who's like, you know, like, hey, I know about this trauma, I understand it, and I'm going to work with you in your particular situation so that we can walk through and make you feel more comfortable, like, is a skill set in and of itself that like we need the diversity of the different ways that people process information. So if like what Sam is saying resonates with you, like, you can book with her direct link. So if you go to studentloanplanner.com, you get the team link, you book based on the way that your schedule works and you'll be assigned a consultant. But at any point, if there's a consultant that you hear on a podcast or you read a blog about or you come across on social media, Instagram Live, you can just simply send an email to help@studentloanplanner.com and get the direct link for that consultant, because that is exactly what we're about. We're, you know, now a team, I think, of 17 consultants, and it is all about creating that diversity so that we can serve the population to the best of our ability.
Yes, absolutely. I think we all have our own personal background with student loans. I know I probably would even asking, right? I feel like everyone, not everyone, but most people on our team, right, have had student loans or have had their own potential, you know, trauma with student loans. So I feel like a lot of what comes, this is, at least from my practice, is just understanding of how I ended up in my situation too, right? So just finding people that are able to provide a safe environment. An environment is like, hey, we can't control the past, but we can move forward, I think is pretty valuable stuff.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go back to this kind of like Philly upbringing, if you will, because, you know, we left there to get to the student loan stuff. We want to make sure we give the people what they want. But I'm really interested. You said you're a foodie and you said you live kind of, I think you referred to it as like the food capital, or I don't know. You said something really high and mighty about Philly and their food. So tell me what we should be excited about related to Philly's food.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't want to just be that person right in the middle of the beginning of the podcast, but, you know, Philly is the best food city in the country, and I will die on this hill. I thought, honestly, food was like this everywhere, and then I left Philly, and I learned it's not. But it's, no, I think it's like, what I love about Philly is because I think we get a lot of, you know, we're so close to New York, D.C., Boston, other expensive cities, and I think a lot of, like, the groups and the chefs, and they come down to Philly, and they're like, yeah, it's affordable, maybe not as much as it used to be, but, and it's also, you know, a very diverse city, so we get a lot of different cuisines, and I think it's just something I've, growing up, I definitely didn't appreciate as much, but now returning, I'm just like, oh yeah, this is special, so this is a not so subtle plug that everyone needs to spend at least a long weekend in Philly.
Okay, so I'm a listener. I'm heading to Philly soon. Never been there before. Give me your top three, like either restaurants or things that I need to eat while in Philly.
Okay, so of course there's like the stereotypical cheesesteak. It's unfortunate because my go-to place actually just recently burned down. Jim's, rest in peace. But everyone talks about Geno's or Pat's. At this point, neither. I don't think locals go to either. But I feel like if you have to go to be a tourist, go ahead. I'm not going to judge you. But afterwards, let's go get a real cheesesteak.
Okay, but where were they going then? Where's the backup place?
Probably the Sandro's or Steve's or something like that. But outside of that, like, there's not just, you know, I went to a great Israeli spot actually a couple weekends ago, Zahav's. And it's amazing. Like, can spend 2 hours there eating. But then, like, you know, you can go to, on the other side, right? I actually got some of the best Thai food I've ever had at Grandma's Philly, in the neighborhood in Philly, and like just anywhere you want, right? What you're looking for. So how about this, Lauren? What kind of food do you crave? Like, what is your go-to?
I like to eat. Crab is my go-to thing though. And Philly's kind of landlocked, right? Like, I don't feel like you're going to tell me a good crab place.
To be fair, when you're that close to like Maryland, like, all right, I'll concede that. I just, that's your comfort food is crabs? All right. That's a lot of work.
It is. It absolutely is. I have a Caribbean dad that, you know, like seafood is a thing over in Trinidad and curry crab is a thing. And we were raised, like you said, we would actually drive from Pennsylvania down to Maryland during crab season. Like, yes, it's absolutely a thing for me, despite all the work that goes into it. So.
Of course, you name like the one thing. But, yes.
I have tons of friends from Philly, though. So I was interested to see, like, what is she going to say is, as where we need to go, what we need to eat there. I think that was good, though. You did Philly proud.
I hope so, because like they will ring me on Twitter if I don't. Philly Twitter is a sight to be seen.
What about current things that you're up to? Do you have pets, a spouse, hobbies that you're doing on the weekend? What are you into?
Yeah, so I have a cat that I was raised by my grandmother, and at 16 or 15, I was like, hey, Nan, I want a dog. And she got me a cat, a kitten. She's been with me for the last like 15, 16 years since then. So cats are for life, guys. This cat has moved across the country with me both times. We've like probably moved together like 5 times in the last 5 years. I share custody of a dog with my ex. We're on great terms. And it's great. I feel honestly, I've always been like the secondary mom. So I feel like do all the good things. I get to watch them. She gets to shower them. She gets to, you know, she gets to get them his meds and stuff. I'm like, oh, cool. I get the pets and the cuddles. So I get the easy job. But outside of that, I love going to shows. You know, I love seeing whether it's music or stand-up comedy. I'm a big fan of that. And something I think I missed doing when we couldn't do it for a while, 2.5 years, just being outside and going to different things. That same grandmother that got a cat used to force me to go to musicals as a kid, and I was like such a brat about it, right? But now I'm like, I love them. So I just anytime there's a show coming in town, I'm always looking for, can we go? And then I am a long suffering Phillies fan. So baseball, and the best thing about having 162 games a year is, there's always a lot to watch.
Tons and tons and tons to watch. So, all right, wait, one thing you said was stand-up comedy. Do you like watching stand-up comedy or doing stand-up comedy? I missed that part.
Generally watching it, right, as a fan. But there was a point in my life where I used to perform it. I think it was a way of me working through my own, financial, emotional trauma. So, no, I think it was something that I did early on in Philly before I moved out. And maybe I'll get back into it. But you have to have it's not something you just stand up and just start talking about your thoughts. You prep, you have to put parts behind your bits, you have to refine it. It takes time. I think a part of me liked it because, similar to learning Spanish, it is a different part of your brain, especially when you're doing this all day. But I think it could be a good outlet. So maybe one day I'll get back to it.
Okay. Stand up comic. You got to see you in action at some point. Maybe when we all get together for the FinderCon conference, we'll see you. You can do a little something together for that.
Yeah, no, we'll have to go to an open mic or just create our own. See how this goes. Honestly, I feel like that event needs it. Just a stand-up comedy breakout session.
Absolutely. I think it would be pretty cool. If you don't know what FinCon is, you totally need to Google it. It is the most interesting conference that I've still ever found to go and attend. So.
I love it. Come say hi.
All right. Give us your best personal finance tip.
Wow. Personal finance is gray, right? There's so much advice on the internet. It's not black and white. Anything we say today, anything that I've ever said on this podcast, someone on Reddit will be arguing against it, right? Everyone has a thought. Everyone has an opinion. You need to understand that it has to be customizable to you. And so how is this applicable to me? So lead with you first is how I kind of probably the best advice I would give. And just know that your situation is different to the person to the left and different to the person to the right.
Amen. Hallelujah to that. And I mean, that resonates so much as it relates to these student loan consultations that we're doing. We literally get the opportunity to change someone's life in 60 minutes. And sometimes people are just I'm a little nervous. This costs a lot. I'm not really sure if I'm going to get the value. I've read a lot of your blogs. I've listened to the podcast for a bit. But really being able to dive into the specifics that are related to you versus something that is written for the general population to kind of take that information and do with it what they will, it can be a game changer. And so I think it's a really big deal for you to realize that you are a unique individual on this planet. I think there's 8 billion people or something. No one is the same, even those that are twins, et cetera, are living different life experiences. And so therefore, when you go to your finances, it should not be a one size fits all strategy. Definitely, you want to be thinking about customizing that. I think that's a great personal finance tip. All right. Worst money habit. Everybody has one, even a financial professional.
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. I probably made every money mistake there ever was, especially when it comes to student loans. But I would say I have a Takis problem. So the Takis chips, I started eating them when I was out in California. And I was so happy when they were back in Philly because I was like, oh, I can move back now. So Takis chips are it's a type of brand of chip. And I, no matter, even if I'm not hungry, if I see them in the store, I just buy one on impulse, I think. It's kind of my guilty pleasure. I don't know if this is a financial thing or a mental thing that we're going to admit here, but it's my problem. But, sometimes, emotional and financial are very much related. But no, I love Takis, and so I love trying different flavors. So of course I will buy a new flavor when I see it too. For me, my bad habit, it would be just that impulse buy, which I think, you can work around if you have that awareness. And I know that it's my blind spot. So, I can work through it.
Absolutely. Everybody has something. So an impulse thing I got to have these. I got to go Google Takis after this because I have never heard of that type of chip before.
I don't know if they have them out by you, but yes, they're in PA now. So come back and get some Takis.
Okay. Or maybe you can just mail me some. You're right. I need to come back to Pennsylvania.
I'll bring you some to think on.
Okay. Cool. What about something you do for fun that doesn't cost anything?
Well, I love going on walks. And I think I got this from my travels. And Philly's a very walkable city. I'm sorry. This is an entire podcast on a plug for Philly. But that's the best thing about traveling. It's just I love walkable cities. I love being able to go from one end to the other end and also not have to necessarily use Ubers, Lyfts, or rent cars. I also love using, this kind of costs a little bit of money, but it's affordable elsewhere, but metros and stuff like that. But I just love exploring, being on my feet and just trying to be mindful too of where I am. And I think even in a city that I grew up in, I'm always noticing different things by just exploring different neighborhoods because neighborhoods change, they're dynamic. And also I feel like I've actually had some really great interactions and experiences with just random pedestrians and strangers by just being present and walking around.
That is super duper cool. I recently got into walking as well. And I just, like, before I was like, oh, this is stupid. I don't really get it. Like, and I think a lot of people during COVID just like, it was the only way to kind of like get outside and, you know, be out and about, have taken up walking. But I love a good walk. Instead of like going out to eat with a friend, somebody say like, hey, do you want to go for a walk? And yeah, I'm like, let's do it.
It's also like good for, you know, your well-being. Go outside, especially if, we work from home, right? So there's times where I'm like, have I seen the sun today? You know, go outside, touch some grass. You know, it's good for you.
Have you had any interesting student loan cases thus far, or anything that's kind of come up that kind of stands out to you that listeners might be interested to hear about?
Yeah, no, I think dating back to the PSLF waiver, right? We've just had so many instances of people coming in, and especially coming from like more of a nonprofit background, working strictly with PSLF. It's just amazing. I had one yesterday on top of another bunch where people just come in, you know, potentially 50,000 plus in student loan debt and set up ready to start repaying in September again. Right. And they're just sitting there on full PSLF 120 credit without even knowing. And it's just amazing that like it's positive and it's also like kind of negative at the same time, because like what happens if they didn't book with us? Right. Like I think I always think that I try not to dwell on that too much, but I think that's the fulfillment we were talking about. And what I was looking for is just like, yeah, no, like they came in here wanting to understand, hey, what repayment plan is going to help me afford this? And they're leaving here with, oh my God, I'm going to have full forgiveness. I don't need to repay it. Like that's what we live for. Right. And I know that doesn't happen to everyone. We're in an environment right now where anything is possible almost. Right. So don't count yourself out necessarily.
Yeah. That clarity and that peace of mind can be worth paying for. Absolutely. It's mind blowing for me as well that, like you said, we're well after the PSLF waiver of October, where, you know, we were just like hammering the board saying, hey, everybody, anybody who knows anybody with PSLF on my social media, on Student Loan Planner social, like you're shouting it from the rooftops. Like after every call, I was saying, please, if you know someone, make sure you tell them about this waiver because it could literally change their lives. And here we are months later after that window has closed. You know, thank goodness there's a window that's still open and you're bumping into people who had no clue that their loans are completely forgivable. It's just like you said, it's a blessing and a curse, like a blessing to be able to help. But you're just like, oh, my God, the fact that there are still people out here like this, like I got to go tell more.
But no, seriously, this is another plug for anyone who like knows anyone in nonprofit. Go talk to them right now. Like call someone, especially higher education or education in general. You know, a teacher, professor, dean, a janitor, anyone who works at that institution or an institution that is a 501c. Give them a call. Tell them, look into their student loans. The worst thing they come out of it is they just have more awareness and understanding of their loans, right? There's nothing to lose by looking into it.
All right. Last but not least, what is one thing that you want to improve about your personal finances in the upcoming year?
One thing I always talk about is how your personal plan it has to evolve, right? I'm going to use my own advice that I use with clients, right? You have a plan A. Plan A goes off the rails. Get rid of plan A and now you have plan B, right? And I think for me, it's, you know, I'm shifting, you know, I'm in my 30s now. And I think it's more of like, okay, now we have to, how do we continue forward in this part, right? We've made our mistakes in our 20s. You know, we've had growth, we've had success, we've also had failure. How do we take with that to actually build a financial future for me and my family?
So what's the action item that you really need to like kind of execute in order to really implement in that goal this over the next year or so?
I think getting more organized for me specifically, I think in the last year or two, which is a lot going on personally, I think I've let some things administratively get out of hand. So I just think maybe some consolidations, maybe some, you know, just also looking at documents. This is actually not really financial related, but I'm actually looking in, but it is financial related because if I ever wanted to explore the option, like I potentially can get German citizenship. And so I was looking into like my next year project will be like, how could this potential citizenship that I need to get like my foot out of my butt and actually start working on and use that to build a future potentially. Like, how can I leverage that?
Excellent. So it sounds like execution of, you know, some things and getting back on top of like you have a process in place, but it's like a little bit like, yeah, I've been a little lax with my process lately. So.
Yeah. And just like you have stuff on your to-do list. Let's actually build a plan to execute them. I think that's a big thing. I'm not like, I wouldn't call myself a staller. I don't stall or procrastinate, but I do sit there and dwell and have anxiety about things that once I'm starting to do, it's kind of like we're like waiting to do something and you're just sitting there in your thoughts and then you start doing it and you're like, oh, that's not bad. That's not too terrible. I'm at that part where I'm just like trying to kick my butt into the to-do action items.
Well, I feel like a lot of people could resonate with that. It's like analysis paralysis almost. So it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I think that it would be good if you're a listener and you end up on Sam's calendar, if you ask her, hold her accountable. How's it going? Are you getting your things on your to-do list, on your to-done list? Sharing is caring. You can hold her accountable as well. So
yeah, feel free. You can end every call with like, hey, how's your to-do list going? But I think any coach or consultant or planner should tell you, like, we are generally our own worst client. So I feel like, because where a lot of our thoughts and feelings, because we're kind of going through similar things, right? And I think once you take, for a while, I used to let that affect me. It was like, hey, like, how can I be there for someone where sometimes I feel like I'm not even there for myself? But I think that's because, like, you can compartmentalize that, right? You can understand, like, you know, life is a journey. It's not linear.
Sam, is there anything else you want to share with the student loan planner community as we close out your intro episode? Tell us.
No, honestly, thanks for having me. And I want, everyone to know, just like, it gets better no matter what it is. Time heals all. And just know that, like, you can only move forward. Don't dwell on the past. But also at the same time, when you're moving forward, please visit Philly. We like it here and we want people to visit.
Yes. So if Sam is your person, after listening to this episode, you're like, gosh, I've been listening to these episodes for years now or months now, and I've been trying to, think about this. Like, if what Sam said today resonates, you're like, this is my person. Let me get on Sam's calendar. We'll make sure that her personal link is in the show notes. But don't be afraid to reach out. help@studentloanplanner.com. If you have questions, studentloanplanner.com. We've got all kinds of information for you. This has been another episode of the Student Loan Planner podcast. I am Lauren Williams, and I have been with Sam Silberstein for the last 40 minutes, sharing our newest consultant, and I'm so excited to have her as part of the team. So, peace out, everybody. Until next time.